This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
So during the week, for our listeners who may or may not be aware, Malcolm and his team put through and got voted through a new piece of legislation, the Marriage Law Survey Additional Safeguards Act 2017.
Six-page fact sheet.
We have Lee Carney on the line. Lee Carney is a lawyer from the Human Rights Law Centre who's going to actually take us through this bit of legislation and help us to understand what its intent is and why it's been established. Good morning to you, Lee.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for getting up on Saturday morning. Yeah. And I'm sorry that you're straight after the PM. It's very difficult to always be the next guest after the PM.
I don't. I'll try to do my best.
So there's some legislation passed quickly, Lee, and basically the intent, I think, or the discussion was that it would mirror the Electoral Act in terms of protections against disinformation, undue influence, misleading and deceptive information, because it is about politics, so it's a bit difficult then. But what's the intent of this to make the debate or the communication around the survey more civil? Is that the intent?
There's a few different intents. Essentially, there's a bit of a gap in the law when it comes to protections under this survey. So when you have an election or a referendum, there are already acts to provide protections against, you know, make sure there's authorisation, protect against undue influence and bribery and threats and this kind of thing. And if it's in trade or commerce, if there's advertising in trade or commerce, there are separate laws that protect against that. But because the survey isn't an election, not a referendum, but it's also not within trade or commerce, it kind of fell within this gap between our laws. So there was a need to introduce it. But there's a few different purposes. One is to make sure that public communications are authorised so that we know who is behind it and you're able to make complaints about content that might be, you know, hate speech or that might be presenting information in a misleading light. It also introduces...
Does that include information which is not accurate?
So in election and referenda, there's no requirement that reporting be true and accurate in every way. It's more about preventing misleading and deceptive information about who you're voting for. So, for example, it would stop people from saying you have until X date to vote when actually we know that the survey responses have to be in earlier, or again saying if you vote yes or if you vote no, you're voting for this result and you're misleading about what they're actually voting for. So you're trying to get them to vote for something by presenting them with false information. But I think the difficult thing, especially with the advertisements that we've been seeing, is that the way that they're talking, that they present information, but they're presented as opinions, and so it's very difficult to regulate them. So when an ad says something like, you know, I want my children to go to a school that does X, that's very difficult to say, you know, whether that's true or that's, you know, false or whether that's misleading, because it really is an opinion about what they think school education should provide. And same goes with arguments about marriage equality.
So if an advertisement said something like, vote no because every child needs a mother and a father, now that's not necessarily an accurate statement.
It's not, but the safeguards are more about ensuring that there's protections against hate speech, or when we're talking about misleading and deceptive publications, it's more about, it doesn't apply to the expression of opinions about the survey or the question. It's more about deliberately misleading someone about what their vote will mean.
So when Erica Betts says that if you vote yes in this, it means men could marry the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which he did. I mean, a bit of a joke there, but we've often seen an election...
Well, he did say that. That's a stupid statement. Mm. I mean, is it inaccurate? Yes, it's inaccurate. Yeah. You can't marry a bridge.
Well, you can't.
So does this get covered, Lee?
Well, this is the tricky thing as well, is that there are also some exemptions. So there are exemptions in situations, you know, in news reporting, politicians have privilege in certain situations to be able to say things. But previously, before this act was passed, we didn't have the protections that would allow for misleading or deceptive publications, so at least to make a complaint about it. Now we can. If we believe that someone is, or there's a segment of the population that is being deliberately misled about what the vote could mean, you can make a complaint about it, it can be investigated, someone can be fined. Obviously, it's just come into effect. So, I mean, as with elections and with referenda, we're not exactly clear what it would fall within and what wouldn't, but at least there are some protections now where previously there weren't any because of this gap in the law.
So a broadcaster like Joy 94.9 is clearly going to be biased towards a yes vote, clearly. Are we protected?
So there's an exemption in terms of the obligation for broadcasters to give reasonable opportunities to broadcast opposing views. So mainstream TV and radio stations, they have to give reasonable opportunities for the yes and the no campaign. Doesn't mean that it has to be equal time or that it has to be equal opportunities, but it has to be reasonable so that they can't essentially say we're only broadcasting the yes campaign or we're only broadcasting the no campaign and refusing to entertain, you know, advertisements from others. But
okay, well, I'm satisfied to hear that I'm now covered because my co-host, Macca, has been publicly calling for the ACL to come into our show and explain their position. So we have made all reasonable attempts, and he's done that via Twitter, so it's on the public record. Mm. So we've actually complied with the Act then.
Well, and the obligation doesn't apply to a community radio broadcaster like Joy FM or a Catholic radio station because you have, you know, a community interest, so you don't have to provide reasonable opportunities to the other side.
And if I can say, unlike some commercial stations in Sydney, perhaps, we actually go out of our way to try to give all sides in this debate and all political parties airtime. One of the things I think I'm interested in is, Lee, is if people thinking about this, if they put their minds back to election campaigns and they will say, written and authorised by so-and-so for such-and-such. One of the interesting things is, I was just looking here, that if you actually receive a phone call from an organisation, what they have to do is they have to say at the start of that phone call, this is Macca from Joy 94.9, I'm ringing about marriage equality. That's correct, isn't it?
It is, yes. And technically you should also say the city that you're in. So if I'm giving a radio interview, I should say, you know, I'm Lee Carney, I'm from the Human Rights Law Centre in Melbourne. So there's a bit of an extra layer where you have to, essentially to be able to make a complaint, there's extra requirements so that you can locate and find out where an organisation is based so that you can make a complaint about them.
Now, as a lawyer, Lee, do you think this is going to provide, obviously, what remedies are available to people, but do you think the intent of this and the way that it's been worded is adequate?
Well, obviously, we were involved in the High Court challenge. We didn't want the postal surveys to happen in the first place. Now that it is going ahead, having the same safeguards that we would have in elections or a referenda will hopefully ensure a fairer debate and that you can at least make a complaint if you see something that does, you know, promote hate speech or any threats or any, you know, attempts to bribe someone. It gives you some avenue for redress. And it also means that because there's this authorisation, if you see something and you think that it is clearly misleading about what a vote means in the postal survey, you have the person's name and their address there, you know exactly who you can make a complaint about. So the purpose of that is to ensure in some ways that there's some accountability for people, you know, saying outrageous or misleading things, that you at least have some kind of form of bringing them to account.
So the question that Macca asked you, Lee, is really to provide an opinion about whether you think this safeguard is a real safeguard and provides an adequate, you know, response to a community's concerns about possible hate speech.
Yeah, so this is where the survey safeguards go further than what an election or referenda would usually provide protection against. Obviously, we know that we don't have federal protections against vilification for the LGBTI community. So the safeguards have introduced this new element, which makes it an offence to vilify or intimidate or threaten to cause harm to someone because of their sexual orientation, gender identity, intersex status or religious conviction. There are some exemptions from that. The tricky thing as well is that even though you have this law, the law can be a bit of a blunt instrument. Sometimes people say something and it's impossible to locate them or find out who they are. But what this law can do is act as a deterrent against that kind of behaviour, let people know that there are serious fines in place if people do engage in conduct that, you know, really promotes hatred of the LGBTI community or, for that matter, for religious people who are opposed to marriage equality.
Yeah. We're going to have to go, Lee, but I encourage and want to thank you for your time on what I'm sure is a very busy time. I encourage people, if they have questions about these guidelines, go to the ABS website, marriagesurvey.abs.gov.au/safeguards. It is there to protect us. It's obviously not going to be absolutely complete, but it is there to protect us. Lee Carney, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.